Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. We've read all the books, we've bought all the courses, we've tried all the tactics, all in search of that elusive secret to growth and scaling. And now I'd like for you to take a different path with me. It's not risk-free, it's not guaranteed, but when done correctly, it produces one winner after another. Today, we're going to leverage everything. My name is Josh Thomas. I'm your host. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. This podcast is brought to you by VAIQ. If you're a busy executive who is getting pulled in too many directions and wish you could just get those lower level tasks off your plate so that you can focus on growth and scaling, we recruit, place, and train a virtual assistant into your business in as little as 7 days, and we'll even manage them for you on a daily basis so you can stay focused on what you do best. To learn more about how you can get your time back and save up to 70% versus hiring locally, go to vaiq.net. That's vaiq.net. Today's guest is Cash Ruscello. She's the founder of Outgrow Accounting and Finance, where she turns chaotic books into clarity and helps business owners outgrow confusion, overwhelm, and outdated financial habits. Cash, welcome to the show. What is one thing you do better than anyone else, and how do you use that to your advantage?
Thank you so much for having me. I would say what I do better than anyone else is I put relationships first instead of the transaction. So building the relationship, building the rapport, and building that trust to ultimately turn into a business relationship.
Putting trust in the relationships first. I debate with people about this where I've had people tell me like trust is earned, not given. I've had that said to me. And in my experience, that's kind of true, but it's also a little counterproductive in some situations. I kind of feel like I'm going to trust you first, because now I've given you an opportunity to thrive. And like it's a little dangerous, but it sometimes works for me.
I think people with that mindset, like you, have been those people that have been apprehensive with trust at first and see when trust is given that ability to thrive. A lot of the businesses that I work with are small business owners that have likely been, I call it DIYing their books. And so they're saying yes to doing their books because they're saving money, but they're saying no to something else. And so they've had this control of their books. They've had control of every transaction that's going on. And it's kind of like when you don't have that control, the fear steps in. So I don't know if it's lack of trust, but I've noticed that when they relinquish that trust and allow the torch to fully be transferred, they are thriving because of the freedom they have to do the other things. So I can see it going both ways. I see it more freely given with executives or really seasoned executives that have been in the business for so long and just know when it's freely given, the flourishing that can happen.
Another thing, it's almost it's ironic though about trust. Trust is very ironic because you typically are able to trust other people when you're able to first trust yourself and trust the process or the environment that you've created. And when you don't have that trust, it's much harder for you to trust other people, because it's like, well, I don't have any like precedent for this working, because I don't even believe that I can do it, I don't even believe if anybody's in this environment that they can do it. So why should I trust you?
Yeah, I think that when it comes to trust, I think there's a level of lack of expectation that you have to have. You can't expect that it's going to go perfectly. And you can look at this in business relationships, friendships, marriages. Like, you're going to get hurt at some point when you allow this trust to come in. But knowing that's going to happen and having expectations that you have a common goal, right? You're trying to get to some finish line. You're both in the same boat, or you're a group of people in the same boat trying to get to A to Z. There's going to be feelings involved because we're people, we're humans. And when you allow that trust to happen, people are going to get hurt. And I think how you navigate that and how you navigate people, and that's where that relationship aspect comes from, is knowing that at the end of the day, we're people, we're trying to get to the same goal, and having grace when, trust is broken, when feelings are hurt, etc. And understanding that 9 times out of 10, it's not malicious. We're just humans.
Right. You come on to a podcast about leverage, being an accountant and a bookkeeper, and now we're talking about trust. So you're like, what's going on here, man?
I love it. I love
But
it. I think
it's
you do have to
essential.
trust. Yeah, you do have to trust. You have to trust who you're working with. And, coming back to that relationship side of it, when I'm having those intro calls and those beginning stage conversations with prospective clients, I'm never trying to sell them. Do I want to win their business? Of course. But ultimately, I want them to be working with a bookkeeper, an accountant, a fractional CFO who they fully can trust and work with to become the best asset to their business that they can. And sometimes that's me, and sometimes that's not me. But knowing what's best for me as the service provider and knowing what's best for the business owner, that builds more trust than anything when they feel like I'm genuinely invested in their end goal.
I think that's really the key, kind of pulling it back to leverage, is if you're trying to grow anything, you only have two hands. And you've got to make sure if you're going to extend past your two hands, you give it to somebody that's capable. Does it need to be the absolute rock star of the world? No. It just needs to be somebody that's capable, that's aligned with your goals and your vision. And hey, good enough. And if they're not aligned with your goals and your vision, or they're not capable, then it's a black and white decision. Like, I trust you with my life, but I don't trust you with my books. You know, that would be, I would be that guy. Like, don't trust me with your books. Like, this, I'm, you know, when you were talking about like people do their own books, like my version of doing my books for the longest time was just.
That's, I mean, there's a lot of business owners out there that are like that.
Look at, just look away. Nothing to see here. It's fine. So talk to us a little bit about what are some of the first things that an entrepreneur should do if they are doing their own books, and some things that they may be missing. What are some things that they should do to kind of get themselves ready? Because there's definitely things that are happening behind the scenes that'll catch up with you if you're not careful.
The first thing that one of the first questions that I always ask is, what is your goal? And where, what, why are we having the conversation? A lot of times the conversation is happening because they're spending so much time doing this, and the premise is, I just don't have time to do this anymore. I've been trying to save money. And I always revert back to every yes you say yes to, it's a no to something else. And is that no less or more valuable than the yes? That was a lot of yeses and nos, but you really have to look at your time. It is an asset you can't get back. And if you are spending 2 hours on books where, like you, Josh, it's not your wheelhouse, what are you not doing in your business for 2 hours that is going to turn a 4x ROI over you doing your books? And when you start to have that conversation with them, they start to realize, like, okay, there is a cost to this. The second piece to it is again the goal. Like, a lot of the small business owners that I'm working with, tax savings, tax strategy is something that they're wanting help with, and they may not even be structured. A lot of small business owners start as a side hustle, and it starts as a sole proprietorship. There's no protection of personal assets in that situation. And so walking them through, starting a business if it was day one, and making sure that they're protected as not only the business owner, but they have tax strategy in place, and that all of their expenses are categorized accurately, and there's a delineation of personal and business.
Yeah, and I found, you can probably speak to this more eloquently than I can, but one of the easiest ways that I was told to do this is get a business card, business bank account, a business credit card, or a debit card or whatever, and whatever expense you have for your business, put it on that card, and at least it's some rudimentary separation of your personal and business funds so that it's easier at tax time.
100%. I would say anybody out there who's thinking of starting a business, regardless of structure, like get a professional bank account where everything is going in and out of that, even if you're the only person in the business, because they start this as a side hustle and it turns into something massive, and then they just don't know how to separate it at that point. And even in your personal life, like when your bank card has to be changed, changing all the things that are attached to that, it's very similar in the business world. Like changing things from one account to another is more work than is necessary if you're starting it out correctly from the beginning. So, bare minimum, I would say a bank account that's just for the business.
Yeah, well said. And so let's talk a little bit, just going one step deeper here. So there's your bare minimum. But let's talk about like a mid-tier strategy. Like what's something that like there's the surface level advice, like my grade school brain can think of. But what would be like that next thing that we can do to really get an advantage?
Yeah, I would say the next stage is when everything is getting into a accounting system. And so a lot of the business owners that I work with, again, they've been doing out of their personal account. They have no idea where their expenses are in comparison to the revenue that's coming in. And an accounting software is between $30 and $40 a month. It's a very bare minimum expense, but it allows you to see what's coming in versus what's going out, which gives you the ability to scale and to plan for things that are working and things that are not working. For example, when things are categorized on a P&L, you may be spending $100 in marketing every month, but are you getting an ROI from that marketing? When it's organized in a financial package, you can start to see where the dollar's coming in versus the dollars going out, what is working for you, what's not. And just knowing those simple numbers will help you scale and continue to spend the dollars in the places that are giving you the biggest ROI.
Who's the best person to connect with you, and how can they get in touch?
Anyone that is like listening to this conversation and saying I'm having these problems, I would also say business owners that are doing it themselves and kind of at that road of, I think I'm ready to give this to someone else. And then I would also say business owners that are doing well, but they just don't know how to get to that next step in scaling.
Okay, well said. And how do we get in touch?
Yeah, so my website is outgrowaccounting.com. You can get in touch with me there via email. You can subscribe to all of the blog posts. And I'm very, very active there. And I would also say LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. It's just Cash Rochelow.
Okay, excellent. So, hey, we're going to wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Cash Rochelow, for coming on and sharing her wisdom. For those of you who want to connect directly, you can learn more by going to outgrowaccounting.com. And once again, if you're a busy entrepreneur who needs to get out of the weeds, we'll place a professional virtual assistant in as little as 7 days. You can learn more at vaiq.net. Until next time, remember this: if you want the win, push your chips in.